Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean coming up next here on Bulldog Live. Give us a call, 1-866-823-1077 here on Bulldog Live.
Now I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
All right, Second Amendment Tuesdays. Penny Dean, how are you today?
I am well, and yourself?
I'm doing great, sitting here under a tree at Rollins Park in Concord, getting ready for the National Night Out and Safety Fair. This is great. I'm actually sitting next to the swimming pool.
Oh, my God. Now, here's what you have to do. You have to watch for Great Danes, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and if Great Danes ever need a babysitter, you know who the best babysitter for Great Danes you know is?
No.
Me.
You?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because there might be people there with Great Danes, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Great Danes. They're good.
Yeah, Great
Danes.
They're
nice big dogs.
Yeah. Those are always important things to know because mine all went to heaven, you know, and they're a lot of pain, but I make a very good babysitter.
Oh, good.
I mean, think about it. If someone wants to go away, and we're talking a free babysitter, in other words, I just babysat just because it's a Great Dane, right?
That's your public service, right?
That's exactly right. But I'm
230-9999 is Penny Dean's phone number.
That's right. And if you have Great Danes, and particularly if you're the Boston Black and White Danes, those get extra treats.
Ooh.
Yeah, those are the good dogs.
Oh, I love it. That is just great. Well, my goodness, there has been so much going on in the news this week that I don't know how we're going to squeeze it all into the segment. We're going to see what we can do because this very well could be an abbreviated segment today of Second Amendment Tuesdays. So let's get right to it, Penny.
Okay, here's what – do you have something first or should I go first with what's important?
No, you go right on ahead.
Okay, here's what's most important. You know our fine friend Obama's health care bill?
Yeah.
Okay, how many people have read the current – see, it started off as 2,700 pages. It ended up being 1,990 pages, I think, plus or minus. So the question is how many of us have read all those pages? That would be...
Well, the thing is, and if you've read it, do you understand it? So
right.
That's a two-part question.
that's exactly right. It's a two-part question. So here's my starting, okay? First of all, I have skimmed it. I cannot say I've read it, okay?
Okay.
But I found some very interesting things to gun owners. Now, in part of people, there have been a few people reported on it, but they've missed the big thing, okay? The big thing that everyone's talking about, and they've got part of the picture, but not all the picture, is what's called the 1099s. Have you heard about the 1099s?
Yes, I have talked extensively about that.
Well, here's what's most important. Now, think about this logically. Let's just carry this through. You go in a gun store, and like a lot of people, they buy a gun, and they decide, I'm going to trade this one in, right? Or maybe you're just going to sell it and go to another place and buy another gun, right?
Sure.
Okay, that happens all the time. How many guys do you know who've traded guns? Everyone. Let's tell the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you do up to $600 in a calendar year, which is January to December, okay, they have to give you a 1099. And because they're not sure, the only way to track if you're going to do cumulative $600 in a calendar year is to take all the information for 1099s for every person that sells anything there. Now,
that is name, address, social security number.
This is the big thing, social security number. Anyone who buys a firearm, if you ever look at a 4473, a social security number is optional. And I tell everybody, option out, never, ever give them your social security number.
Oh, I never do.
Never. That's exactly right. Okay, but here's the huge thing that I'm concerned about. These 1099s are now going to be the biggest and best database of gun owners you've ever seen in this country. Because think about it, if Riley's Gun Store, let's say, issues a 1099, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know you sold him a gun, right?
Right.
Okay, that makes you a gun owner, right?
Presumably, yes.
unless you're selling your neighbors or your cousins or you're stealing them on the street and
right.
whatever.
No, I'm just sitting here acting as the IRS bureaucrat looking at the computer database saying, Riley's Gun Shop. Yeah, oh, there's a $799 purchase. Oh, yeah, let me guess what he bought.
that's exactly right. Now, here's the two other things that are huge. Let's say the wrong political party gets into power. Right now, if they call the IRS and say, you know what? You need to be auditing people more. Right now, they just
sounds like DRA.
It's going to be
true.
True. That was just what I was going to say, but I want to say it. The bottom line is, Obama says now we know which gun owner, who are the gun owners. We can all audit them. You got to audit somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we pick all the gun owners? But now here's what's more important. If you get a 1099, you and I know it's miscellaneous income. You have to declare it as taxable income on your return, right?
Right.
Okay, so you want to say, no, I did sell this gun for $600, but I bought another gun for $800. It's an exchange. I basically traded a gun. Great, give us proof of the gun you traded.
That would be another 1099 probably involved somewhere along the line.
It's a true gun owner database. And see, federal law prohibits the ATF from creating a dead federal database.
Is the key word there to prevent the ATF, not the IRS?
That bingo bullseye. Bingo bullseye. And
Thank you.
I need to look at the law again, but I'm positive it prohibits the ATF, and I'm 99% positive it doesn't prohibit the IRS.
Okay.
So what you have here...
These Congress critters were busy, weren't they? It seems like they knew what they were doing.
Well, here's what I think happened, if you want to know the truth. And this is my theory. I don't have proof of that. Obama, who we all know is no friend to gun owners, wants to tax the crap out of everybody. So he does this 1099 idea, and someone explains to him what I just said, and he went, boom, I get two birds with one stone and a big one for the second one. He's like, this is like Christmas time twice. And no person read this, and when they were so busy reading it, like you said, if you read it, did you understand it? And you need days and days and weeks to ruminate and say, okay, how is all this going to affect 50 million different people? And now here's what's interesting. If you actually read Section 6401 of the health care bill and Section 9006 of the health care bill, 6401 of the IRS code, here's what you find out. There's an absolute exemption for that $600 for doctors for health insurance payments. You do see the funny exemption in a health care bill, right?
All right, yes, I know.
Is this not a double whammy boom bomb?
Yes, and I'll tell you what. Senator Shaheen, to her credit, again, she was for it before she was against it. She is now calling for either the repeal or the reform of this 1099 requirement. So we need to ask her to make sure that we go all the way and repeal this, because forget the fact that it's just going to be a burdensome paperwork requirement for all our small business owners. But, you know, then we have this unintended side, well, what could be an unintended side effect or intended side effect.
But let me tell you two other things.
I'll bet Paul Hodes won't answer this question in the debate against Kelly Ayotte or Jim Bender or Bill Binney or any of the others.
You want me to tell you the funny thing that you won't believe?
Sorry if I left out Ovid. Yes, go ahead.
is that if you look at Paul Hodes' voting record, other than the health care bill, which I think this got past everyone, including our pro-firearm friends, Paul Hodes has voted 100% pro-firearm in his time in Congress, believe it or not.
Oh.
Now, I'm not going to say that he's going to champion our causes. I'm not going to say anything else. But so far this term, in all fairness to Paul Hodes, he has voted 100% with us. Can't ask for anything more than that, right?
Fair is fair.
Yeah, fair is fair. And so the bottom line is, now, do I think that he or anybody else knew about this? Not a whole lot of them. You know what I'm saying? In all fairness, I don't think Holt, but here's the other larger
Paul
issue.
Paul Hodes sent out a statement prior to the vote that he fully understood what was in this health care bill.
Oh, you're kidding.
I don't have that memo in front of me, and it's probably disappeared in the ether on my email system, but I'm sure it could be dug up somewhere.
That's important, because let me put it this way, then he's smarter than any of us, because if he understood what's in this health care bill, I understand parts of it. I understand portions. Have I read and digested and can extrapolate 2,000 pages? No, I can't. Freely admit I can't yet.
Right.
Takes too much time.
Don't worry, some IRS bureaucrat can't either. They can't even administer their own tax laws, for crying out loud, nor the Congress critters who write the stupid laws, too. It's great.
They absolutely can't. But think about this as a practical matter. Every time you go in the gun store to sell a gun now, they're going to have the paperwork line where you get your 1099 information in and get put in their system, right? It's going to take gun stores, guarantee you, at least one more full-time employee to do this, because the paperwork.
And what does that do to the price of everything that you buy to compensate for that employee?
That's exactly what I was getting to. This is going to drive the price of guns and other goods, okay, through the roof, because no gun store with a small profit margin can afford to absorb that cost. He's going to have to pass it on to people.
Right.
And that's going to bring up the price of guns, which in this tough economy is going to make people go, gal, I can barely afford to buy things now, and maybe I'm just not going to buy one, right?
Right.
You know, and so I see some
Or what we're also going to do is create another run on guns and ammo prior to January 1st, 2012, as if we didn't already have a lot of that going on.
I haven't been able to get match pistol primers and match rifle primers for 8 months, basically.
I can't hardly get 38 ammo, for crying out loud. I just got some boxes about a couple months ago, and I'm almost afraid to shoot them off to practice, because I hope I'll ever get them again.
That's exactly it. And that's huge, I think. I mean, those type of things are reasonable things that we need to think about supply and demand. And I think the other question is, I think we need to ask every one of our Congress critters, as you would say, if they support, you know, the Firearm Owners Protection Act of 86 froze the supply of machine guns in this country. And what it did was send the price through the roof. And other than for law enforcement and stuff, it can no longer be manufactured for private individuals. We need to ask every one of them if they support the repeal of that.
What, is that law still in effect?
Sure is. As of May 19th, 1986, machine guns have been frozen, the supply froze in the United States, okay? Other than for military and police use. So, for example, you can't buy any new machine guns. Any machine gun you buy is at least, even if it was manufactured in 1986, at least, you know, X number of years old. You know,
so they can't be manufactured in this country or even imported?
Only for law enforcement and military use.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
wow.
So you know what it did to the price of them?
Let me guess.
Through the roof, ceiling, and into the stratosphere.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so do you know how many lawfully owned, fully automatic firearms have ever been used in a crime in the entire history of the United States?
I'm going to guess less than two dozen.
How about one?
Oh.
How about one? And it was used a few years ago by an off-duty Ohio police officer.
Okay,
so that's the entire history of the U.S., how many lawfully owned. So I would say they're not a crime problem, right?
Right.
And so why shouldn't we be able to manufacture them and sell them again for private use as opposed to for military and police use?
All right. Well, Penny Dean, I'm going to take a time out here. Why don't you hang on? We do have time. We can chat with you for a few more minutes on the other side of the break for about another 5 minutes or so. 1-866-823-1077. If you have a question for Attorney Penny Dean, this is your chance to do it. We'll get to as many calls as possible. 1-866-823-1077 here on Second Amendment Tuesdays on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages live on the Pulse.